for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, September the 1st, 1989. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chip Hill is the teacher of the afternoon. Well, it's time for another lesson. And Brother Chip's going to teach us that lesson. And we're going to learn. Because unless the student learns, the teacher hasn't taught, so we're going to learn. So the teacher will have taught. Okay? We're going to put in practice what he teaches us.
Amen. That's right. We're going to put into practice what I teach. And, you know, you might be sitting on the other side of the continental divide from the person sitting right next to you. You know what I mean? Which way are you going to flow? You're going to be like water that flows to the west or water that flows to the east. And what makes the decision is whether you hear and do the Word of God or whether you hear it and ignore the Word of God. And I want to tell you something, that today, this afternoon, you're going to learn some things that are absolutely going to turn your life around if you flow the right way. So right now, I'd like you to hold your hands out to me. Hold your hands out and pray for me. And I'm going to hold my hands out and pray for you all. That there will be an intermingling of the power of God from you to me and me to you. And the devil is going to be completely driven out in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the people of God. I pray for those even who don't know you yet, Lord, that they will be set free this afternoon. And even the Christians here, Lord, that do know you but are bound in any area of their lives, Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm claiming victory for them. Victory over habits, victory over curses, victory over sins, victory over sickness and disease and poverty and all of the various ways the curse of the devil comes against us. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm praying for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to let me speak accurately and clearly so that everybody will benefit and that Jesus will be lifted up in our midst and the glory of God will descend upon this meeting and just cover us, Lord. Just cover us like the waters once cover the earth in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that if we observe to do all His commandments, which He commands us this day, that the Lord will set us on high above all nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come on us and overtake us. Now, this is a dimension that's beyond reaching out in faith. Praise God, we reach out in faith. But this is something where if you're doing what God tells you to do, then every time you turn around, you're going to be just overtaken with the blessings of God. It's not going to be an active faith where you're saying, all right, now we got to get together and hold hands and agree together. And Jesus said that if two of you agree on earth is touching anything that they shall ask, shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. That's one thing. But I'm talking about something where every time you turn around, the blessings of God are flowing. That's what God wants for you. But you must be set free. You must be set free to observe to do what the Word of God tells you to do. A lot of people want to, but they can't. There's something binding them, something hindering them. And I want to tell you that something is a curse, and the force behind the curse is an evil spirit. Now, there are some of you here today that perhaps have never considered the fact that there are evil spirits. And perhaps there's some of you who believe that a Christian cannot have one. But I'm here to set you straight if you're open to the Word of God. I warned you last night to be, don't allow yourself to be inflexible. Don't allow yourself to be one who can't be changed, because you don't know everything yet. No matter how old you are, you don't know everything. As a matter of fact, the man who thinks he knows everything, he just proves that he really doesn't know that much at all. So always be ready to learn. Turn with me quickly to John 8. We're going to go through some scriptures. We're going to go through some points. I'm going to show you some things that I believe are going to absolutely turn your life around. And even if you're here, and I know some of you Christians here are with me already, I know you've heard these things, and this isn't going to be anything new to you, but this is just going to strengthen what you already know. Amen. John 8. Praise God. Go to verse 31, very famous verse of Scripture. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, see, that's a condition, continue in the word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now look at verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now there are 2 points I want to make here. Number one, being set free indeed is determined by knowing the truth. Okay? Now that word indeed is kind of blind to us. What it literally means is you shall be free in fact. You shall be free in reality. You shall be free in experience. You know, there are a lot of Christians who are theologically free. You know, theologically, they've got things pretty squared away. Theologically, they know the basic doctrines of Christ. They are unchangeable. They are absolute. They don't change. Praise God. They're doctrinally free, theologically free. But they've got a lot of hang-ups. They've got a lot of problems from which they cannot be set free. And all of the Bible they know isn't sufficient to set them free from these hang-ups and these problems. See, but Jesus said that the truth, and He is the truth, He is the truth. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the truth. And He said, this truth makes us free. It will make you free. But like I said, it's contingent upon knowing the truth. And when we talk about knowing the truth, we're not talking simply about knowing the truth about redemption. See, I know that by Jesus' stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago in the mind of God. I know that Galatians 3:13 says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I know that. See, theologically I'm correct. But I need to be free. I need to be made free experientially. Amen? It's not good enough to know these wonderful fundamental truths of the gospel, but I need to know, why aren't I enjoying them now? I want to enjoy them now. And so God wants me to. He's not holding out on you, folks. If anybody's told you that God's holding out on you, I want to tell you boldly, they're a liar. Even if they're lying in ignorance, they're still telling you a lie. And it comes straight from the heart of the father of lies, the devil. God wants you to be absolutely free. So this freedom depends on knowing more than just the truth of redemption. Sometimes we have to know the truth about ourselves. And what we're going to do right now is I'm going to meddle with you. I'm going to pry a little bit. And we're going to allow the finger of God, which Jesus said is the Holy Spirit, and we're going to allow Him to reach into our hearts, into our lives, into our past, into our minds, into some of our present beliefs. Because I want to tell you, not all of the things you believe today are necessarily true. We're going to allow the Spirit of God, the finger of God. Jesus said, I cast out spirits by the finger of God. Amen? We're going to allow Him to grope into our lives and dig around a little bit and uncover some things. And it may get kind of personal, but I'm telling you that if you'll make sure you flow the right direction, flow in the favor of doing the Word of God and responding to the Spirit of God, you're going to be set free. Not because I say so, but because God says so. Amen. We're going to call on the name of the Lord in a little while, and the Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Not maybe, shall be. Shall be delivered, praise God. The Spirit of God is here to see to it, praise God. All right, let's look. To begin with, I want to talk to you about evil spirits, because a lot of people don't realize exactly what they are, and then they don't exactly realize what they come to do. But evil spirits, you ever heard the phrase, or somebody talk about a haunted house, that there's a ghost in there? Well, I like to tell them all the time that that ghost, that spirit that's in there is not what you think it is. A lot of times they think it's the disembodied spirit of someone who died in that house and is haunting that house. No, it isn't. It's just simply probably a familiar spirit, but it's a demon spirit. It's not a homo sapien that died and their body's in the grave, but their spirit is haunting this house. No, every human being as we know them, every homo sapien, every descendant of Adam and Eve that ever died on this earth, has gone to one or of two places. They're not staying down here on earth haunting houses. But I want to tell you something. There are demon spirits that haunt houses and make noises. Back before I got into Christianity, say, I always had a thirst for the supernatural. I used to conduct seances. I wasn't a real professional seance conductor because what I learned off watching Dark Shadows on TV. Brother back here laughing. Back when I was a teenager and 15, 16, it was the big thing. It was a soap opera about the occult. And it fascinated me. I'll tell you why it fascinated me is because the old church that I went to, I never heard anything supernatural. I can remember the time they carried a boy out having an epileptic seizure, and his eyes rolled up in his head, and they had to stick their fingers down his throat to pull his tongue, keep him from swallowing his tongue, and they hauled him out, and not a prayer was offered, not a command was given to the demon, and I sat there, as did everyone, just kind of with our mouths hanging open at this display, this demonic display of the devil's power in the midst of a church meeting. I never saw anything supernatural, but I had a hunger and a thirst inside for the supernatural. So therefore, I didn't get it from the church that I went to. It was a powerless, palsied, pitiful thing. I don't even call it a church. Now, it was pathetic. So I went looking for some power, and I found it in rock music. I was a Jimi Hendrix guitar player. I don't know if you've ever heard of Jimi Hendrix, but he was a great, probably the best electric guitarist that ever lived. And I used to play his music. I had a band. I got into drugs and alcohol and everything, wrong sex and everything. Never was homosexual. I'll tell you, I've never had any inclination that way. I don't like boys. I like girls. That was my problem. I like girls too much. And they liked me, too. But I got set free by the power of Jesus when I got saved, and I began to find out that the Bible says I ought not to do that. Okay? Well, anyway, let's go on. Demon spirits. I had a thirst for the supernatural. And I got into it, and I'm convinced that that was also one of the reasons arthritis hit me when I was 19. Why I was a teenage alcoholic at age 19. I couldn't go through the weekend without getting stoned, drinking beer, and I loved my bourbon and coke. I mean, I was a mess, just like most of you were before you got saved, okay? Praise God. So anyway, but I got demons. I got saved, of course, when I was 22 years of age. That was January 21st, 1974, in Norfolk, Virginia. But there was still a foreboding cloud and a pressure over my life, and there was still uncontrollable powers working within my life. I was saved. I was blood-bought, blood-washed Christian. If I would have died then, I would have gone to heaven. But within my flesh, see, no good thing dwells in this flesh. Didn't Paul say that? No good thing dwells in this flesh. Don't, it doesn't. And I want to tell you, the flesh is a natural abode for evil spirits. And I tell you, until you get your mind renewed by the Word of God, your mind is a wonderful playground for demon spirits. And that's the way I was. I was a born-again Christian, a witnessing Christian. I won guys to the Lord over many a beer can. I loved the Lord with all my heart. But my knowledge of Him and my knowledge of some of these things, see, I didn't know the truth that would make me free. I was free in a measure, but I needed to be free completely. It's like the brother said this morning. He said, yeah, we're saved. We're born again. But this salvation is an ongoing thing. That's why Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That word salvation there in that text is the Greek word soteria, and it means deliverance from the molesting enemies, deliverance from temporal evils. And I want to tell you, demon spirits are temporal evils. They won't follow us into heaven, but I want to tell you, they're here. Satan is the god of this world, and he carries out his dastardly deeds through myriads of evil spirits. And their assignment, they've already got the people in the world, but their assignment is to vex you and to keep you from becoming all that you can become in Jesus Christ, so that you'll be an ineffective witness, and you won't be the powerhouse God wants you to be. He wants you to be a powerhouse. He wants to wire you. He doesn't want you to be 110, he wants you to be 220. Amen? 240 I meant. Praise God. And I wasn't talking about weight either. Okay? All right. Evil spirits are very real. There's much I could say about that, but you've probably heard some of it. But they are the disembodied spirits. Some people say that they're disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamic race of human beings or humanoid-type creatures that perhaps once walked this planet. I've heard many great scholars say that. I tend to agree with that, but I don't know. It doesn't matter if that's true or not. The main thing is that they are disembodied spirits, just like you are a spirit inside a physical body. They don't have a physical body, but they want one. That's why they want yours. See, they feel naked without a physical body. Jesus said that when an evil spirit's cast out, he walks through dry places seeking rest, and when he doesn't find any, he says, I'll go back to my home. And if he goes back and he finds it all swept and garnished and nothing taking the place, and Jesus and the Holy Ghost not in there big and full and the Word growing in your heart, then he'll go back in taking seven spirits worse than himself, and you're going to be in worse shape afterwards than you were before he ever left. But evil spirits, they want physical bodies. Even if they can't have the body of a human being, they're content to go in the bodies of swine or animals. Dogs, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to say his name, but there's a fellow in our community that's demon. He's demon possessed. He's not a Christian. He thinks he is, but he's not. This guy's wild. And I walked down to his house the other day to take him a couple Norval Hayes tapes, trying to show him something, you know. He wouldn't sit there and listen to me, but I had a couple good Norval tapes. Norval's wild, man. And good Norval tapes that I thought this guy would learn from. He'd be able to receive something. And he has a boxer, a boxer dog that just went bananas when I walked into the yard. And he said, I don't understand. He said, he's never done that to anybody. Well, that dog has the demons his master has, and it's pathetic. See, the whole creation groans and prevails. That dog doesn't want to be demon-possessed, but it is. Demons, they filled this boy up so much, now they're in him. That dog, I mean, demons will get in anything that breathes, if they can, rather than be naked and walking about in dry places with no way to express themselves. They express themselves through human beings. That's their perfect will. But if they can't do it through human beings, they'll express themselves through animals. Amen. All right. Evil spirits. Number one, let's go ahead. I ramble. I have a tendency to ramble when I get on a subject like this, and I need to move on. Number one, evil spirits entice. And I want you to mark things down. As God, the Spirit of God is groping right now, okay? He's going to grope. The finger of God is going to work in your life, in your past. He's going to uncover things. And as he does, he's going to show you. Write it down. Number one, evil spirits entice. They entice. They even entice Christians. Don't tell me they don't. They entice. Even as a Christian, sometimes they come to me and entice me to, you turn the TV channel. And I don't know how you all are, but you've got cable. Is there cable? There's cable in town, I'm sure. Well, they've got their channel, might as well be X-rated. And there'll be an enticing. You're going over, you say, I think I'll go over here and see what's coming on this channel. And you'll stop, and there'll be a scene where with a half-nude woman and a half-nude man, and they're getting ready to make love. And the spirit will say, don't turn that dial. The evil spirit. They'll entice. There are many other ways they entice. But if there's an enticing in your life where you seem to always be enticed into one area or another, mark it down. It's the devil. Number two, and I want to say this, that behind every voice, there's a person. Behind every, see, usually you're enticed by a voice. Behind every voice, there's a person. Now, I'm not talking about a human being coming to you and talking to you. Oh, sometimes that they use human beings to talk to you. But behind every thought, often Satan will come or a demon will come in the first person. You won't know it's a demon. They'll come up and say, you know, I think I'd like that third piece of coconut cream pie. You'll think you thought the thought. But see, if you've told yourself before that I'm going to control my diet and I'm not going to be a glutton, then you made up your mind. You're not going to be that way. But if there's a voice comes to you and says, you know, I think I'd like a... Mark it down. That's a demon. See, you made up your mind. You're not going to do that. But most of the time, we'll think, yeah, I think I would. And you totally, Satan is totally, or the demon is totally hidden by putting that thought in your mind in the first person. You understand what I'm saying? I want to tell you, behind every bit of information or suggestion that comes to you in the form of a voice, there's a person behind it. You need to be able to distinguish what person it is. Is it your spirit? Is it the person of God, the Holy Spirit? Is it an angel? Sometimes angels will speak to you. They spoke to Philip. Angels speak. You know, I could show you some places now. Angels speak to you. You might not realize it's an angel. They'll put some suggestions in your head, too. But I want to tell you something. They're going to always be in line with the Word of God. If they aren't, God's going to take care of them. If they aren't, you reject them. But I want to tell you, most of the voices that are coming to people in this world today are coming from evil spirits. And we need to realize that they'll even speak to Christians. Number two, they come to harass. Evil spirits come to harass. Come to harass you. You have stood in faith for healing, and you felt you've gotten victory, but all of a sudden one morning you wake up and the pain is there again. That's harassment. Harassing spirits have come to harass you physically. Sometimes they'll come and harass you mentally. They'll torment you and try to control your mind. They just beat, buffeting you. They come to harass. They're on you when you least expect them, and they're on you when you least want to deal with them. You know, it's amazing. I bet you some of you who were getting ready to come here, probably 2-3 hours before you came here, all sorts of things began to go wrong just to try to keep you from coming. That is harassment. That kind of activity is set up and enforced by evil spirits, not God. Number three, they torment. They are great tormentors. They torment in your body, in your mind. They'll torment your spirit. They'll torment your finances, your family, your belongings, your car. They torment. Evil spirits come to torment, but mainly they'll come to torment you as a person. And I want to tell you ways that they gain the ability to torment is through your unforgiveness. And I want to tell you, every single day, every day you live on this planet, you have the opportunity to forgive or not forgive somebody, because every day somebody's going to do something that you're not going to like. And they might not do it on purpose. It's just that we're all human. We make mistakes. But you have the choice every day to forgive people, harbor resentment and bitterness and strife. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said that if you fail to forgive every person, then you too will be handed over to tormentors. And I want to tell you, the tormentors are evil spirits. Christians, it's one of the most miserable groups of people that cannot forgive a Christian people. It's pathetic. Well, that's why they're so tormented. That's why they're so beat down and destroyed, because they won't forgive. Other torment, fear brings torment, the Bible says. Christians who just live under a great fear, they live filled with a spirit of fear. And there's different types of fear. Fear of man is one of the worst. The Bible says that the fear of man brings a snare. I see Christians that are just snared by a fear of man, and it's something that's more than just a condition of the heart many times. Many times it's an evil spirit that has taken root in their lives and drives them to be afraid of what people think. But a holy man of God, a holy woman of God, has a greater fear of displeasing God than displeasing man. I had recently to dismiss a man from leadership in my ministry because I was coming under that kind of fear of man. And I released this man knowing the repercussions could be disastrous, and they haven't been pleasant. But I'll tell you, he got the last word in, but I'm free. Because I'm rejecting the fear of man. I will not come under the hand of any man. I will not come under the hand of any man. I submit myself to righteous authority, but I will not come under the manipulative witchcraft power of men or women who want to control me, bless God. Like Darlene's told people before, you get telling Chip too much or bugging Chip or nagging Chip too much, and you're going to see him going the other way. And I always do, don't I? I take it so far, and that's it. And I'll cut you off, too. And it doesn't matter if you like me or not. Big deal. Doesn't matter to me at all. Bless God, I'm going to serve God. I answer to Him. And that's the way you need to be. But see, evil spirits, they'll torment you with fear of flying, fear of swimming, fear of heights, fear. A lot of phobias are nothing more than evil spirits that you need deliverance from. Do you have phobias today? Are you tormented with phobias? That's not natural. That's not of the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a self-controlled, sound mind. You don't have a spirit of fear if you're a Christian. And yet I see Christians all the time that are scared, they're petrified. Different things. They're just afraid. They're eaten up with fear. They're afraid of growing old. We need not fear growing old. We need not fear anything. And we need not fear, like you said this morning, the mark of the beast. Big deal on the mark of the beast. I'm not going to give him a second thought. That's what the devil wants you to do. Center down and being afraid of him. But don't be afraid of him. Just do the work of the ministry. Be a kingdom commando and blaze a trail for God. Amen? All right. Physical torment. Arthritis is physical torment. I want to tell you a reason for that is a critical spirit. Now, I won't say in all cases, because once I got rid of that spirit of criticism that I had, the arthritis remained. It still fought me. And I realized that I needed to stop doing caffeine. And there were other things. I needed more exercise at the time. There were just many things that I needed to cut out. But I want to tell you that one of the spiritual reasons for the physical disease of arthritis is criticism in many cases. Tell you another thing that we've learned. Curvature of the spine is called what, scoliosis? Did you know that the Greek word for crooked and perverse is scoliosis? A lot of times, people that have curvature of the spine, they've got a crooked and perverse streak in their nature. Could be they have a crooked and perverse spirit lodged within them. Now, if you've got scoliosis here today, I'm not telling you that you've got a demon of perverseness or that you are crooked and perverse, but you might be. Judge yourself. See, we're groping around. I'm picking at you a little bit. I'm meddling. Okay? Okay, something else. Multiple sclerosis. Our great friends, Hal and Helen Wallace, whom Helen died 3 days ago, they're burying her today, my spiritual mother. They had a woman brought into their home in Stanton, Virginia, back in about 1969 or 70, who had MS, multiple sclerosis. And she had been the daughter of an army colonel, and she'd been all over the world as a child. And when they brought her in for ministry, and as they began, demons began to manifest and name themselves, and they began to cast these demons out of this gal. And every time one would leave, she'd get freedom in a certain part of her body. See, multiple sclerosis is a binding disease. And she'd get freedom in a certain part of her body. And she'd also get a word of knowledge that came into her. Oh, that came when I went to that Buddhist temple when we were in Thailand. When my dad was stationed in Thailand, I was a girl of 12 years of age. That spirit entered me then. God began to give her knowledge on where these demons came in. Hal and Helen learned a great lesson that day, that MS, multiple sclerosis, if you want to know the truth, it's multiple spirits. MS, multiple spirits. Sclerosis, let me tell you about that, multiple sclerosis. Hardened and bound, and you begin to lose. Scleros is the Greek word for hardness. A lot of times, some people that have multiple sclerosis have hardness of heart. It's amazing the number of things that spiritual causes for physical problems. Kidney problems. Did you know that the kidneys, the Bible teaches, if I have time, I can show you this. Between Darlene and me, we can show you. But kidney problems, did you know that the Bible teaches that the kidneys are the seat of the emotions? And a lot of people that have kidney problems, they've got emotional problems. If you can bring order to their emotions by casting out an evil spirit or teaching them the word and renewing their minds and getting their emotions brought into line with God's will, then you can see a lot of the kidney problems cease. For instance, you have 3 children. You have an older kid, a middle child, and a young child. The parents are proud of the older one. They love and they think the little one's cute, and then there's that child stuck in the middle and he doesn't get the attention that the older and the younger get. Often he'll be the bedwetter. We've seen this. Kidney problems. Kidney problems. Kidney infection. Many times it's a result of screwed up emotions. Hal Wallace told me one time that when he was going to college at Virginia Polytechnic Institute in Blacksburg, Virginia, years ago. He's 87, and this was when he was in college back when, around 1920, something like that. He said that he had an exam, a really important exam that he had to pass, and he said that his urine that day was rich yellow. He hadn't had eaten or drank anything that would cause it to be that way. But it was the emotional strain on preparing for this exam that affected his kidneys that way. So I want to tell you that if you've got kidney problems, something's wrong with your emotions, and it could be an evil spirit fouling you up. All right, now let's go on to Number four, evil spirits compel. They compel. They compel you. We're talking about compulsions. Compulsive eating. Compulsive drinking. Smoking. Here's one that gets a lot of charismatic Christians. Compulsive talking. Now the Bible tells us that we're to bring a word to the weary. How often do we weary people with our words? What does it say in James? It says that we ought to be quick to hear, slow to anger, slow to speak. But we reverse it. We're quick to talk, quick to anger, and slow to hear. Okay? They compel you. It's a compulsion. If you've prayed for deliverance, or just prayed and asked God, help me, you know, set me free from this problem. I don't like being this way. If you've studied the Word, if you've called your prayer group and had them pray for you, and yet you're still compelled into a certain area of sin and disobedience, and you haven't found relief, even through fasting sometimes, it could be you need to stop doing those things until after you have addressed an evil spirit. When you can't straighten out your by doing those necessary things like prayer and studying the Word and getting people to pray for you, it could be there's an evil spirit lodged in your being somewhere that needs to be driven out. And you don't pet him either. You cast him out. You wring his neck. In the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open, or laid bare, as the New American Standard Bible says, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know what that word laid bare means? It means with head thrown back and neck exposed. You can take the Word of God and expose. It causes the demons, it causes the devil himself, if he's stupid enough to stand before you when you know who you are in Christ, and you can cause his head to be thrown back and his neck exposed. I used to hunt with coonhounds. I used to have coonhounds. And I've turned dogs together before. You know, this guy'd bring his two hounds, and I'd bring my two hounds, and that one would bring his two hounds, and invariably there would be two dogs that would get into a fight. And always the weaker chicken dog would always, in order to keep from being killed, would lay down. It's a universal sign among dogs. He'd lay down and expose his neck to the stronger enemy and always get mercy. That one would stop at that point. As long as he fought, that one would kill him. But as soon as he knew he was whipped, he'd lay down and expose his neck. And the bigger dog would just stand there and make faces at him and growl and pretty soon walk away. He won. He showed him who was boss. Well, the Bible says that the Word of God causes our enemy's head to be thrown back and their neck exposed. And when they do that, don't stop like a dog would. Go ahead and wring it. Wring his neck. Take the sword of the Spirit and cut his head off, bless God. If you don't, he'll rise up to defeat you later on. Amen? My daddy told me one time, I had a bully picking on me. Darlene said, this is good, okay? She likes this one. I had a bully picking on me, so I'm not very big. And so bullies in school like to pick on smaller guys. And this guy was just picking on me mercilessly. And I just didn't know what to do. I asked him to stop. He wouldn't do it. I told one of the teachers, and they didn't stop him. I tried to avoid him, and he wouldn't stop picking on me. He just shoved me around. He called me shorty and punk and all of that stuff. One day I went to my daddy, and I said, Daddy, what do I do about this bully? And my dad said, all right. He said, I want you to, next time he comes up and picks on you, he said, I want you to act like you're going to walk away. And he said, I want you to ball up your little fist. And he said, I want you, when he's least expecting it, to wheel around and pop him on top of the nose with your fist as hard as you possibly can. He says it'll bring tears to his eyes, his nose will bleed, and he'll be blinded temporarily. But he said, don't stop there, because if you do, he'll get up and kill you. He said, once he's blinded and staggered, he said, you knock his feet out from underneath him, put him on flat on his back on the floor, and you kick his ribs in and leave him for dead if you can. He said, before that happens, I guarantee somebody will pull you off of him. But you'll teach him a lesson, he'll never bother you again. Now, I'm not saying that's what you need to tell your son to do, okay? But I'm telling you, that's what your Father in heaven's telling you to do where it comes to evil spirits. Once you get them down, don't stop until you kill them. What did David say in Psalm 18? He said that he pursued them till they fell under his feet. Don't just run them off and then say, well, I beat him. No, he'll come back and get you another way. You need to pursue him. And when you get your hands around his scrawny neck, just shake till there's no more life in him. Make him so he'll never want to see you again. Amen. I never had to do it. I did slap his face a few times. He backed down from me. He saw that I was willing to fight. He picked on me the next day, and he came up to me and he started shoving me. And I said, well, come on out here. And I slapped his face a few times and balled at my fist. And boy, he backed down. He saw I was ready. I never had to do that, but I would have done it. Amen. Now I do it to the devil. Amen. He came around bullying me with arthritis. Huh. Who does he think? The audacity of you to think you're going to put arthritis on me, you dead jerk. Come on down here. Sometimes I get so mad at the devil, I just feel like saying, come on, appear before me. I dare you. Just appear before me. I'm not afraid of you. Who was it, Smith Wigglesworth, who woke up one morning and looked at the foot of the bed and there sat the devil and he went, oh, it's just you. Somebody says, boy, you talk tough for a little fella. Yeah, but I know in who I stand. Amen. Doesn't have, the physical size doesn't have a thing in the world to do with it. If you could see me on the inside, you'd see a giant killer. Amen. God doesn't look on the outward appearance of a man anyway. He looks on the heart, and it's time you and I start doing the same thing. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so they demons compel. They come and they drive you to do things that you know you ought not do. But you can't get free by just praying, by just fasting a little bit. That'll help. But you must address the evil spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. Talk to them. Get mad. Sometimes you have to yell at them because if you don't, they'll talk louder than you are. Well, please leave. I just don't want you. I command you in Jesus' name. Leave me alone. Get out of my heart. Get out of my life. And the whole time you're talking to him like that, he's louder, drowning you out. Sometimes you need to just be wild. You need to be wild and say, come out in Jesus' name. I command you, get out of my life. Walk the floor. Walk the road. Get wherever you go when you pray and get alone. And just demand the devil get out of your flesh. Get out of your body. Get out of your mind. You belong to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He has no right to you. Read the riot act to him. Amen? All right, they come to compel, so don't let them compel you into these things. Because sin kills. I don't care what kind it is. And you're not going to stand with that excuse. It's a weak excuse one day to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and him say, why didn't you stop doing that? Well, because I was compelled to. I couldn't stop it. Yes, you can stop it. You've got the authority and the ability and the Holy Ghost to stop anything that God doesn't want you to do. All right, but you need to drive out spirits if they're causing you to do it. Number five, they come to enslave. Evil spirits come to enslave. We have people enslaved to all forms of things. All forms of slavery. People are, it doesn't have to be physical either. There's spiritual slaves. Slaves to addiction. Habits, to slaves, slaves to people, slaves to manipulative people. They come to defile, number six. Evil spirits come to defile. They'll defile you spiritually, and often it's manifested in the physical. Bad breath. You brush your teeth three times a day and gargle with Listerine, and you still have bad breath. Glazing or sullen eyes. Unkempt appearance. You don't need to wear three-piece suits and fancy dresses, but you ought to keep yourself neat. You know, I can wear a pair of jeans and a shirt and be neat. But evil spirits come to defile. They love them. They stink. They're rotten and no good, and they like to make you stink and rotten and no good. Bad breath. B.O. Extreme B.O. Unnatural body odor. That's demons. Got to watch that. I could go into other areas. I mean, they're rotten. You just got to realize that they're there, and that's what they come to do, and you've got to deal with them. They come, number seven, to deceive. To deceive. See, demons are behind all heresy. Go over to 1 Timothy 4:1 quickly. Are you getting anything out of this? Well, that's good. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Hey, how can you depart from something you never were a part of? That's right. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And if you depart from the faith, walk in the faithful way, then you can not only be deceived by these evil spirits, but you can be taken over by these evil spirits. Now go with me, if you would, real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is writing to a spirit-filled bunch of people. As a matter of fact, they were so spirit-filled, they were kind of untamed. They loved to get together and exercise the vocal gifts, and a lot of times it was to show off, a lot of times it was just out of uncontrolled enthusiasm, and they were making almost a mockery of the proper use of the gifts. These were not babies in Christ necessarily. These were spirit-filled folks, and Paul's writing to them, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. He says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit," so there it's taped, it's possible to receive another spirit other than the Spirit of God. And he's talking to Christians and telling them, you could receive. And I'll tell you, you will receive if you receive another Jesus. And I want to say there are a lot of other Jesuses out there. There are a lot of other Jesuses out there. And I might get you mad at me now, but I don't serve the same Jesus the Catholics serve. Now, they might serve a Jesus, but it isn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It isn't the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the Jesus I know. Need I go any further? I could name some other things, but I'm not going to. There are many Jesuses being preached out there that are not the Jesus of the Bible. They're a watered-down Jesus. They're a weak, sisterly Jesus. But our Jesus, I want to tell you something else. In some of our major denominations now, they're already emasculating the fatherhood of God by having neuter gender songbooks and neuter gender Sunday school material, and they want a neuter gender Bible. That's not the Jesus that I know that's controlling those organizations. I was a Methodist for years. I'll go ahead and slap them a little bit because I was one. I know what I'm talking about. And back in our neck of the woods, some of the Methodist churches out there have already accepted the fact that Jesus was not masculine. Father is not father, but he's simply neuter gender God. He might be mother. Baloney, he's not a mama. One of the wonderful cardinal revelations that Jesus brought concerning God Almighty was that he is Father. And that doesn't make Darlene mad at all. She's glad because she had a good daddy. She's not glad, upset because God's not a mama. She's glad he's a daddy. And every woman who had a good daddy is also glad. It's usually those women that had lousy daddies that wish God was something else. And I want to tell you something about this national organization of witches. I mean women. It's exactly what it is. If I could get my hands around the neck of some of those demons controlling those women, wouldn't I have a heyday? Boy, I'd bring a bunch of them down here and me and Brother Glenn would just all day long. I cannot stand the National Organization of Witches. It's exactly what it is. It's a Jezebel outfit. And I'll tell you what ERA means. It means Eve ruling Adam. And I don't care what Molly says. Why, the audacity of that dead spirit. Now, I don't hate her. I love her. But I get riled up. I love these women. I love them. Lord God, set them free. Set them free from the deception of the devil. They all got demons and they need to be set free. But sometimes I pray they hear this tape, some of them. I'm ready for a fight. I live in Highland County, Virginia, Route 604. Come on. And I'll sit down and love you with the Bible. I tell you, we have a good friend. He's an evangelist. He's interpreted for T.L. Osborne in Kenya a number of times, T.L. and Daisy. His name is Patrick Chege. And Patrick says he was preaching in Tanzania in a big crusade, and the witch doctors were out on the outside of the city cursing him. And he got up there about the fifth day of his crusade, and he said, "Where is he? Where is he? Where is this witch doctor? Bring him up here. Let me see his power. He can't put a juju or a curse on me." He's not afraid, and we shouldn't be afraid either. I don't care if all of the witches in America start throwing curses towards Chip Hill. Bless God, it's not going to stop me, because I've got the whole armor of God on, and I intend on keeping it on.
Amen.
And if you ever hear that Chip Hill falls, I want you to know it wasn't God's fault. It was my old dumb fault for taking the armor off and for compromising the Word of God. But I want to tell you, I'm ready to headhunt demons. Let's go headhunt them. They're out there killing people left and right. Let's set the people free. You need to know these things if you're going to be a powerful minister for the gospel. You need to know this. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto the people, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Why? Because they heard and saw the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying out of many with a loud voice. Praise God. I've got in my possession a tape. It's rare footage. It was done with a home video camera of a Carlos Anacondia crusade in Argentina, where they're having great revival. And Carlos Anacondia is a true New Testament evangelist. He doesn't just get up there and exhort sinners to come to Christ. He sets them free, too. He gets them healed and delivered. And this Carlos Anacondia, 10, 12 years ago, was a businessman. Got saved. Now he's on fire for God. And I've got this. He holds mass crusades where 200,000, 300,000 people will come in these areas to hear him preach night after night. And after he gives the altar call and people come forward to get saved, then he begins to break the power of curses over them, because they've mixed Catholicism, which is bad enough, with Spiritism, which is a deadly mix. And they've got all of these problems. And plus they've got incest, and they've got immorality just in rampant in their genes. And some of them are related to the Indians who worship false gods. These people are demon-possessed, demon-oppressed down there. And he'll begin to break the power of curses over their lives, and all over the vast crusade grounds, hundreds of people will begin to fall out under the power of evil spirits. I've got it on film. I've got it on film. And it shows hundreds of them falling out all over the ground, convulsing, vomiting, screaming. Witchcraft always comes, not always, but most of the time comes out screaming. You can hear people screaming all over. And he's got a tremendous army of workers who run out in there, two or three men, and they'll pick these demon-possessed folks up and carry them, kicking and screaming, backstage to a tent where another army of workers are waiting. And that tent calls his spiritual intensive care unit. And back there, they bring these demon-possessed folks in, and he begins to cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of the workers do. And I've got that on film. And I'm just standing amazed, thinking, oh, God, I'd love to see this in America. I'd love to see this in America on a great scale, not just in a meeting like this, but where I'd love to see Billy Graham be able to do something like that in a Coliseum. I want to see that. God told me, he said, look at the way these people are dressed. He said, look at the way these people are dressed, son. And I looked, and there in South America, they're dressed just like you and me are dressed, just like I'm dressed, just like you're dressed. They're normal people. They work in the shops. They work in the factories. Some of them are white-collar workers. Some of them blue-collar workers. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, son, he said, if you gathered 200,000 people from all over America and put them under the same kind of anointing that Carlos Anacondia carries, he said, you'd see the same results in any city of America. And that's what I'm holding out for. I want to see that. I guarantee that I'm not saying I have that anointing. I want that kind of anointing. But I guarantee that if Carlos Anacondia, for instance, were to come to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and hold a mass crusade meeting, and the churches would get together and work with him, and prayer would go up before it, and he'd get up there and do the same thing he's doing in South America, you'd see the same results. Some of your most sophisticated neighbors would fall out under the power of the demons that lie hidden within them. And they'd be set free too. That day's coming. It's coming. Philip did it. Carlos is doing it. Others have done it. It's going to continue, and it's going to get better as the last days close in on us. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, you can see that if you receive another gospel, you can receive another Jesus and another spirit. All right, now, How much time do I have, huh? I'm not going to worry about the time, okay? Because we're going to get some of them set free. All right, they come to, this is number 8 in what they come to do. They come to weaken physically and make sick. They come to weaken physically and make sick. Evil spirits come to weaken physically and make sick. And you know, they're no respecter of whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, you're a prime target. You're on, if you're a dangerous Christian, you're on Satan's hit list. You're on his hit list. I heard a number of years ago, George Otis, because he had the Voice of Hope radio station in southern Lebanon, said he was on the PLO hit list. And that's a bad hit list to be on. But I want to tell you something. You're on the devil's hit list if you're dangerous to him. And that ain't too hot either. It isn't fun being attacked. Sometimes it seems like every time you turn around, you're being attacked. It's not fun. But thank God we've got the victory in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the signs of a curse so that if you're in trouble here, if you're in trouble here, you'll know it and you can get free. The signs of a curse. And behind every curse, there's an evil spirit. Something has to be the force behind that curse. Number one, accident prone. Do you seem to be prone to have accidents all the time? Now, I'm not talking about an occasional accident, you know, like I stubbed my toe, you know, 2 weeks ago on the foot of a kid in the lake back home. I've got 2 little boys and their friends and everything, and I was pitching them up in the air, and we were fighting in the water, and I stubbed my toe. First time I've stubbed my toe probably in 5 years, and it hurt. Felt like it was broken there for about a day or two. But that was probably the first time I've hurt myself in months and months and months. And I don't hardly ever wreck cars. I don't think I've had an automobile wreck since the first year we were married. That's been 13 years ago. And the only thing that happened then is I slid on some ice as I was pulling to my gate, and I hit my gate post, punched the finger a little bit. But I know people that are always having accidents. They're bumbling, fumbling, always banging their head, wrecking their car, falling off ladders, falling down steps, always having accidents. Are you accident-prone? Think about it. If you're accident-prone, that's a pretty good sign that there's a curse operating against you. Number two, recurrent mental and emotional problems and breakdowns in a family. Recurrent mental and emotional problems and breakdowns in a family. It could be, it doesn't need to be just, you know, depression. Usually they say that a, you know, mental breakdown is usually depression, but it's not always. I mean, I know a family back where I live where they're prone to fits of great temper. And people talk about it all over our neighborhood. Oh, they had another temper. He's just like his daddy or his granddaddy. Those men just have violent tempers. Kind of tempers where they go crazy and jerk the phone off the wall because their wife maybe ran the bill up a little bit too much, the phone bill. Or they'll drive their... I know a man who got upset one time and drove his Jeep through a rail fence, just angry, spinning the tire. Things like this. There's all sorts of emotional problems. I know people that you can't even talk to them about hardly anything, and they just weep constantly. And they're not the only ones in their family that are like that. That's a sign of a curse. It needs to be broken. Many recurrent mental and emotional problems and breakdowns in a family. Number three, in signs of a curse, long-standing and strange forms of physical sickness. It might be diagnosed and it might not be. There was a man back in our county here just recently that was taken to the hospital, and he had inflammation in the stomach or something, you know. I mean, but they never did find out what the cause was. He just began to grow weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and they took him to the hospital, and the doctors ran every test known to man on him, and they never did discover what made him sick. A strange form of physical weakness and sickness. Many times, that is a dead giveaway, folks, right there. That's an evil spirit. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's just been in your life. But I'm talking about long-standing and strange forms of physical sickness. And some of them aren't so strange. Arthritis is not a strange form of sickness, but I got it through my family. And I also got it through my own dumb involvement in the occult and being unwilling to forgive people and eating the wrong food. Number four, some signs of a curse. A history of marriage breakups. My parents divorced.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.